Nirnam Shrir Ivar Bhur Abhut. Harita Hari Bir Shaspir. Indra Gopas Chalohita. Uchilindra Krita Chaya. Nirnam Sri Iva Bhur Abhut. Harita Hari Bir Saspir. Indra Gopes Chalohita. Uchilindri Krita Chaya. Harita Hari Bir Saspir. Indra Gopes Chalopika. Uchilindira Kritaya. Nam Sri Ibiru. Harita Hari Bishasper. Indra Gopais Chalohita. Uchilindra Krita Chaya. Nirnam Shrir Iva Bhur Abhut. Harita. Greenish. Hari B. Which is green? Shaspe. Because of the newly grown grass. Indragope. Because of the Indragopa insects. Cha. An. Lohita. Reddish. Uchinlidra. By the mushrooms. Krita. Afforded. Chaya. Shelter. Nirnam. Of men. Shri. The opulent. Eva, just as. Bu, the earth. Abhut, became. Translation. The newly grown grass made the earth emerald green. The Indragopa insects added a reddish hue, and white mushrooms added further color and circles of shade. Thus the earth appeared like a person who has suddenly become rich. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. Srila Sridhara Swami comments that the word Nirnam indicates men of the royal order. Thus, the colorful display of dark green fields decorated with bright red insects and white mushrooms, umbrellas, can be compared to a royal parade displaying the military strength of a king. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is a very simple translation, simple verse describing the glories of the rainy season and autumn. The rainy season is the season that contains Chaturmas. Chaturmas is the 4 months of the year where devotees, renunciants, sannyasis, they stay in one place in the old days. They did not move. And in this way, they discussed Hari Katha very deeply, very intensely. Prabhupada mentions Srila Sridhara Swami's. Srila Sridhara Swami gave many wonderful commentaries to Srimad Bhagavad Gita and also Srimad Bhagavatam. And these commentaries were very, very appreciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He used to say that the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam by Sridhar Swami is the commentary that all is superior to all other commentaries of Srimad Bhagavatam. He always praised Sridhar Swami, even though Sridhar Swami is from the Rudra Sampradaya, which is empowered by Shiva. Now this verse is very simple, and there's not really much that one can speak about this verse. But because today is the disappearance day of Krishnadas Kaviraj, Raghunath Das, and Raghunath Bhatta, I will speak a little bit about each one of them, if with your permission. Okay. So these three, Raghunath Das, Raghunath Bhatta, and Krishnadas Kaviraj, were very, very powerful and influential acharyas in our sampradaya. After Jiva Goswami, everything in our disciplic succession was, he did some books called the Tatsandarbhas, and that concluded all the teachings of the previous Goswamis. Most people think of the Goswamis as six, but actually there's eight. And the reason for this is Lokanath Goswami for sure is a Goswami. Huh? Lokanath Goswami, he met Mahaprabhu in Navadvip before he took sannyas. So he's the oldest, and he's the most senior. So when he met Mahaprabhu, before he even took sannyas, Mahaprabhu could understand he was his eternal servant. He said, you go to Vrindavan and discover all the pastime places of Krishna. So immediately he left for Vrindavan. So that's, you can say that's number one. He's the first sannyas. All the other Goswamis met Mahaprabhu after he took sannyas. We know Rupa met him first, and then Sanatan. So he went first. Now Krishnadas Kaviraj, he was the last Goswami. But we cannot say that he's not a Goswami because Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote Sri Chaitanya Charamrita, which is our Opus Dei. Bhaktisiddhanta used to say, if all the books in the world were lost and all we had was Srimad Bhagavatam, we would be fine. But if we even lost Srimad Bhagavatam and we had Chaitanya Charamrita, we would be more than fine. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, because he wrote Chaitanya Charamrita, being humble, he wouldn't include himself as a Goswami. So Lokanath Goswami, he told all the others, Rupa, Sanatan, Raghunath Das, and Krishnadas Kaviraj, he said, don't put my name in any of your books. He forbid them. And because he was senior, they had to listen. Even though he should have been glorified. Here and there you'll see the name Lokanath, you know, discreetly, because they didn't want to offend Lokanath, because he was so senior to everyone else. So that's why his name isn't mentioned, because they had to follow the order of the senior. And Krishnadas Kaviraj, he was thinking, well, how can I compare myself to Rupa, Sanatan, Lokanath? So he didn't put his name in as the Goswamis either. So whenever he writes in Chaitanya Charamrita, the six Goswamis, he's honoring Lokanath, because he ordered him, don't put my name in. I'm afraid of pratistha, name, fame. I don't want to be known like that. Now, Lokanath Goswami, he only had one disciple. Who's that disciple? Narottam Das Thakur. He was so humble, he didn't even want to take disciples. But Narottam had his eye on him. He said, you will not escape me. So when Lokanath used to go at night and go to do his toilet, Narottam would come and clean it up. So after some time, Lokanath noticed, my place is always clean. Who's doing this? So one day, he went and did his toiletries, and then he hid in the bushes to see who came. And then he saw it was Narottam. And then in his heart softened. He said, okay. He was thinking, this devotee is making an extraordinary effort to get my shelter. So then he gave to Narottam. and that was his only disciple. We say the same thing with Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. He swore, I will take no disciples, you know. Gaur Kishore one time did bhajan in a latrine for 4 months to escape people, because people won't go to the latrine to approach anybody. Huh? So he hid out in the latrine, and they said, come out, come out. No, I will not come out, I will not come out. He said, but it's not suci there. He said, it's more suci than these charlatan gurus that be running around the planet. And he stayed in there for 4 months. Then finally, Bhaktivinod was able to build him a little bhajan kutir. And because before that, he lived under a boat. He just had, there was a boat turned upside down, and he lived under that. That was his bhajan kutir. So Bhaktisiddhanta needed to have a guru. So he talked to his father. And Bhaktivinod said, you should take from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Now, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji could not read or write. He was considered an uneducated person. But the greatest of sages and scholars would come to ask his advice for different Shastric references. And he always gave the exact right answer. So back to Raghunath Das and Raghunath Bhatta and Krishnadas Kaviraj. So I was informing you that Krishnadas Kaviraj, he was so humble, and the whole community of Vaishnavas asked him to write Sri Chaitanya Charita, which is the later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vrindavan Das Thakur had written Chaitanya Bhagavat. That's the early pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Krishnadas Kaviraj, he would write the later pastimes of Mahaprabhu and also give a history of all who all the associates were, what was their, what branch they were of Chaitanya's movement. We also are a branch of Sri Chaitanya's movement. And we know this because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada took a vow that he would chant 1 billion names of Krishna. So 1 billion names means he was chanting, okay, 1 lakh is 64 rounds. Bhaktisiddhanta, to fulfill his vow in 10 years, he had to chant 3 lakhs rounds every day. And he did that for 10 years. Bhaktisiddhanta was very, very firm in his oaths. When he was a boy, his father, in Bengal, they have these very delicious mangoes called himsagars. And they're so sweet, you can smell them even when they're on the tree. And one time, Bhaktivinod brought some himsagars home. And the aroma of these mangoes just filled the house. And so Bhaktisiddhanta was about 5 or 6 at that time. And he said, oh, look at these mangoes. And his father just smiled and went to take bath. When his father came back, he saw that Bhaktisiddhanta had cut a mango and had started eating it. So Bhaktivinod, he just said, oh, you eat before you offer to Krishna. And then Bhaktisiddhanta saw, his name was Bimala Prasad in those days. Bimala Prasad, he said, oh, father, I'm so sorry. He said, son, that is not correct for you to eat before you offer to the Lord. And then Bhaktisiddhanta made a Bhishma vow. He said, I'll never eat mango again. From 6 years old to the end of his life, he never ate sweet mango again. That's how staunch he was with his vows. So, and if you've ever been to Bengal, mango's the king of fruits. That's the one fruit you want to always eat. You can eat mango every day. You never get, mango is such a fruit that you never get tired of mangoes. Other fruits, you know, you may love, oh, I love these papayas, I love these pineapples. But after some time, you get tired of them, you know. But mango, you never get tired of. And also mango is significant because when Mahaprabhu performed his pastime, he created a mango tree for his devotees. And just, he took a seed from a mango. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took a seed from the mango, put it in the ground, and within an hour, a full-grown mango tree grew. And it had large mangoes that didn't have a seed and didn't have a skin. And Mahaprabhu would pick them and give them to all his devotees. And one mango satisfied one man. And so mango is a very special fruit. Anyway, Bhaktisiddhanta took this vow, and he never ate a mango again, a ripe, sweet mango again. So he took also this vow to chant 1 billion names. So that's 3 lakhs a day, 365 days of the year, for 10 years. So when he finished his vow, well, I don't know if anybody here has ever chanted 64 rounds, but if you ever chanted 64 rounds anytime, there's a very transcendental feeling that enters you if you chant with attention. And somehow or other, to chant 64 rounds, you have to have attention because you can't finish otherwise. You know, I mean, it's a long road, you know, and you have to be a general, you have to marshal your troops, you know, you have to, in other words, control your senses, control your mind, control your eating habits, control your sleeping. So many things have to be done to finish this vow. That's just 64. So you can imagine his attention span to chant 180, 192 or something like that. 64 times 3. So he did it every day for 10 years. So I'm sure he was on some form of transcendental plane after that was over. So he was thinking, wow, it's true what the Shastra says. Harinama, 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 Evalama, Evadasta, Evadasta. Okay, there's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way in Kali Yuga. So he was content. He was just going to chant and do his bhajan. But then, one morning early, when he was chanting, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva came to him. And when I say came to him, they came to him just like you're sitting in front of me. Not a vision, not a dream. They came before him in their transcendental bodies. And they said, Bimala Prasad, what are you doing? We have service for you to do. You have to spread the mission. Mahaprabhu said, you have to spread my mission all over this world. So Bhaktisiddhanta, his guru was there too. Gaurakishore was also there. Bhaktisiddhanta said, I have no funds. He said first, I have no men to spread this mission. Mahaprabhu said, we'll send the men. Then he said, I have no funds to spread this. He said, we'll provide the funds. You just go preach and everything will manifest. And so, of course, if the Lord comes to you and gives you personal darshan, that must be quite exhilarating, especially in his transcendental physical form. It's not a vision. It wasn't a spurti. He came physically transcendentally in front of him, let's say like that. So then Bhaktisiddhanta said, all right, let's get to business. And so then he started attracting all the intelligent people in Bengal. And the English, too, were attracted to him. The English royalty, they were also attracted to him, you know. You see, when you see, there's pictures of Prabhupada, I mean, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, at the boat, when the first English disciples that Bhaktisiddhanta sent there came. And he was a first-class gentleman, you see. He was a grihastha at that time. But he was dressed very, very... very, very beautifully. He's sitting there with the others on the right side, if you ever see that picture, you know. And he was a very handsome man also. He was very handsome also. And he was. So that's the type of people he could read Sanskrit. Huh? He could read and write Sanskrit. So he was educated. So these are the type of people that Bhaktisiddhanta was able to attract. But this is all by Mahaprabhu's desire, you know. Krishna consciousness had to be spread around the world. And we're part of that movement also. You know, I mean, this is a leela also. You know, we're spreading Krishna consciousness in places where it never got spread before. You know, and so this is a very big thing. We're in Mahaprabhu's army. You have to look at it like that. You can't think, oh yeah, let me, no. You're part of Mahaprabhu's army. You know, he was only here 500 years ago. You know? I mean, if we lived 500 years ago, we never would have heard of Mahaprabhu. We never would have heard of him in our different countries. Like that. So in this way, the Krishna conscious movement was being spread. So let me stay on Krishnadas Kaviraj first. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, he wrote this Chaitanya Charamrita. But when Bhakti Vinod was like the mayor of Jagannath Puri, he had access to everything there was to have access to. He could not find a copy of Chaitanya Charamrita. You know, it took him 6 years to find a copy. It was almost lost. Yeah. So he found it. But it took him 6 years. And he had access to everything, you know. All the Vaishnavas in the country he had access to. You know, and also all the British libraries and all their documents couldn't find. Then he finally found, and he had many copies made, so it was not lost, you know. So this Krishnadas Kaviraj, he's certainly a Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj, you see, before he wrote Chaitanya Charamrita, he wrote this book called Govinda Lila Amrita, which is not for the ordinary devotees to read until they get mature. But because of that book, the whole assembly of Vaishnavas, they said, would you please write the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, his later pastimes? So Krishnadas Kaviraj agreed. And he was very old at the time. He writes, my eyelids are falling. I can hardly keep my eyes open. My hand is shaking. Only by the mercy of the Lord am I able to write this book. And like, if you know, Bhagavad Gita has how many slokas? Okay. And Srimad Bhagavatam has how many? 18,000. Chaitanya Charamrita has 24,000. You know? It's like the PhD. Yeah? Like the PhD. So Krishnadas Kaviraj gave us this great service, and so he's included as a Goswami also. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, he left his body at Radhakund. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami also left his body at Radhakund. Raghunath Bhatta came from South India. When Mahaprabhu was doing his traveling, that 6 year period he traveled before he resided permanently in Jagannath Puri what's the name of it? Where did Mahaprabhu stay in Jagannath Puri? Mandir, Gambira. Yeah, exactly. Before he stayed permanently at the Gambira, he went to South India one time, and one Brahmana asked him to stay with him, and Raghunath Bhatta was the son of this Brahmana. So he was able to get Lord Chaitanya's remnants and have some association with him. So later, when he got older, he came to Vrindavan, and he met the Goswamis, and he was an important person in Lord Chaitanya's mission, because he was trained up by... See, first Lokanath Maharaj was there. So when Rupin Sanatan came, they took shelter of Lokanath. But then Lokanath was avadut. So he just, after he took shelter, gave shelter to Rupin Sanatan, then he just avaduted, he went wherever he wanted. But Rupin Sanatan stayed permanent because they were writing books. So all the Goswamis would go there and take shelter of them. So Raghunath Bhatta, he went there and also took shelter of them. So then Raghunath Das, his story is very interesting because it gives examples to us of how difficult it is to get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how easy it is to get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Das, his father, was rich like Bill Gates. Whatever Bill Gates is today, Raghunath Das's father and uncle were even richer for that time. Raghunath Das had 12 servants, 24/7, you know, feed him, dress him, clothe him, watch him, everything. So somehow or other, he got attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was like wild for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So his father said, his father got him married to a beautiful, beautiful woman. And he was thinking, yeah, once he's married, his wife will calm him down. But no, it didn't calm him down. You know, he still had this hankering for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he used to always run away from home and try to get to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But his father would have 6 guards chase him and bring him back. This happened many times. So he was thinking, okay, he heard that Nityananda is coming to a place called Panahati. So he's thinking, okay, it's not far from where I am. I'll have a chance to see the Lord. So he asked his father, can I go to Panahati? His father says, yes, you can go. So he went to Panahati. So then he sees Nityananda far away sitting on a singasan under a banyan tree. And he stands like far away. And Nityananda's servants say to him, oh, Raghunath Das is here. So Nityananda says, you thief, come here. But Raghunath Das wouldn't come. He just fell down and gave dandavats. So then Nityananda caught him himself. And he said, you're a thief. I'm going to punish you. So many people discuss what is this punishment and what is this thief situation. So first of all, Nityananda called him a thief because he tried to steal Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy without going through him. Hina Nittai Vina Bhai Radha Krishna Paite Nai. If you go through Nittai, you automatically get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you get Radha Krishna. Most devotees that are intelligent, when they go to Mayapur, they make sure they go to Ekachakra, where Nityananda took birth, his appearance place. Because if you get Nityananda's mercy, your Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. There's no way you can fall down, you know? He'll catch you no matter what. No matter what. I mean, it was Nityananda who gave the mercy to Jagai and Magai. After he got hit in the head with the pot. So, you know, we're not hitting him in the head. We're just lax with our duties. We're not chanting our rounds attentively. We're getting up late. We're skipping Ekadashi. I mean, you know, so many things we do accidentally, not on purpose. We don't do these things on purpose. But, you know, so we don't, he doesn't have to catch us. He just has to push us, you know. Well, pushing is easier than catching. So Nityananda, he's like that. His mercy is, he's described as like a mother lion. She carries her cubs in her mouth, and the cubs are totally secure. But that same mouth, you know, can kill and is very ferocious. So in this way, he went there. So that's the thief part. You're a thief because you went around me and tried to get Mahaprabhu's mercy without me. So he says, I'm going to punish you. So then Nityananda put his feet on Raghunath Das's head. And he said, make a feast for all my associates. So there was about a few thousand associates following Nityananda then. And then all the townspeople. So what Raghunath Das, he was saying, this is perfect for me. I've got all the money in the world. So he sent his men to all the villages in the area to buy all the chip rice and doi and banana and sugar and ghee and camphor. And so they all came back, and they had to get pots. In India, you know, everybody has a clay pot. You use it once, you smash it to the ground, the rain makes it earth again, you know. So they had to buy pots. And so Raghunath did this. And so there were thousands and thousands of people who came. They couldn't even stand on the land. They had to eat their chip rice and doi in the Ganga, up to their knees or up to their waist even, because there were so many people. So in this way, Nityananda finally got, Raghunath Das finally got Nityananda's mercy, because he had gone to Mahaprabhu before. And he said, I have to serve you. I just want to leave everything and serve you. And Mahaprabhu looked at him and said, why are you acting like a crazy fellow? You have a wife, you have your parents, you must fulfill your family duties first in the Grihastha Ashram. Once you've done that, then you can come to me. And the example he's giving is that every ashram must be perfected before you go to the next. I mean, if you're a brahmacharya, then you must perfect that brahmacharya ashram. I don't mean you have to be perfect, but you have to perfect the ashram. If you're being a brahmachari and you're thinking about Matajis, well, that's not brahmachari. If you're a brahmachari, then you be a brahmachari. A solid brahmachari. A brahmachari is a soldier. Whatever's required, he must do. In the temple, everything's equal. The person who sweeps the floor and the person who does puja, they're equal in the eyes of the Lord because this is the temple. Nobody would be asked to sweep the street for the city. That's not equal to anything, all right? But in the temple, the person who sweeps the floor, the person who does puja, the person who makes the flower garden, the person who cooks, everything's equal in the eyes of Krishna inside the temple. So brahmacharis are soldiers in boot camp, huh? So whatever you're required to do, a brahmachari must do, and that perfects his ashram. Then later when you become grihastha, well, you must perfect that ashram too. You can't, if you don't pass high school, you're not going to get into college. You know, I mean, as simple as that. These ashrams are structured in a certain way, and if you don't perfect the grihastha ashram, let's say you get divorced, you know, your kids, you're paying alimony or whatever, and you want to be vanaprastha? Bogus. You have to follow, you know, the Varanashram system was established by Lord Krishna himself. It's not like some, you know, fantasy, whimsical. You have to perfect the ashram. And then when you perfect that ashram, you have the choice to stay in that ashram, let's say in Briya Brahmacharya for the rest of your life, or you have the choice to be grihastha. It's simple like that. It's simple, you know. But you must perfect one before you go to the next. And if you go prematurely, there won't be such positive results. Like that. So this is the Varanashram Krishna established. So Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das this, what are you doing? He actually said, why are you acting like a crazy fellow? You know, I mean, that was his words, you know. You have to perfect your Grihastha Ashram, you know. And so then, by the mercy of Nityananda, he was able to establish that internally. And then from there, he was able to get Mahaprabhu's mercy after some years. It wasn't right away. Right, it wasn't right. But Nityananda's mercy is essential in Krishna consciousness. It should never be underestimated how important Nityananda is for devotional service. Many, like the Brajbasis, okay, everything's radi-radi, you know? But they're Brajbasis. We're not Brajbasis. We came from Malecha backgrounds, all right? So we should act accordingly. What the Brajbasis can do and what we can do are two different things, you know? People sometimes get infatuated and think, oh, wow, because everything the Brajbasis say is radi-radi. They don't even mention Krishna. Everything in Vrindavan, everything's radi radi. And they're correct because they were born there. We were born for another reason. We were born to spread Krishna consciousness in the countries that we were born in. And so the Russians are spreading in Russia. The Chinese are spreading in China. Americans are spreading in America. You know, the Spanish are spreading. I mean, it's like that. That's how Krishna consciousness got spread around the world. And that was Prabhupada's genius. He was able to say, okay. Yeah, I see how to do this now. And so he also got the books translated into those different languages also. And so the message was going out by the books, you know, in the language of the country of the people where they lived. And that's why I think it's 900 million books have been distributed so far. It's almost a billion. 900 million for sure, though. Krishna consciousness books have been distributed through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his purports, because his purports were so delightful, you know, and simple too. You could understand. I mean, most people got to Krishna consciousness through Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, you know. We covered Raghunath Das, we glorified him, Raghunath Bhatta, and Krishna Das Kaviraj. So this is their disappearance day. They all left their bodies in Radhakun, and their three samadhis are also in Radhakun, right next to each other. But it wasn't a normal samadhi like most saints get, because the Muslims were very active at that time. And so the devotees were afraid that if they put their bodies in, the Muslims would dig them up. So they burned the bodies, and the ashes they put into the samadhi there. The samadhi is right in between Radhakun and Shyamakun. I mean, I've been there. I've seen it. They're all three next to each other. Raghunath Das first, Raghunath Bhatta second, and Krishna Das Kaviraj third. So they're right there. They're like, their samadhi stones are like the size of the top of this table. and their names are written on it. White marble. And now the devotees, some devotees from Radhakund, they build a nice samadhi for them, for all three of them. It's very beautiful. So these are our Goswamis. Because of the Goswamis, because of their teachings, Krishna consciousness in the mood of Mahaprabhu, Achinta Beda Beda Tattva, simultaneously one and different, which is the most superior philosophy there is, because the Lord is simultaneously one and simultaneously different. He's within all, he's without all, you know? So this is wonderful. Am I beyond the time? What's the time? 8:30 only. Class goes to when? Huh? Yeah, we'll do Q&A then. I covered everything I needed to cover. So Q&A, starting with... You got the microphone, so you go.
Maharaj, I was very inspired by your description of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's vow. The way you I've heard this before, but somehow when you explained it today, it really sunk in that this was something real. He did this, you know, and then having qualified himself through his chanting, he was then given the divine instruction, now you go and preach. Srila Prabhupada, with his merciful benediction, he encouraged us to preach even when we were unripe mangoes, when we're not as advanced sometimes. And I find myself in my spiritual practice that, you know, that I don't have the determination to do something like what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta did. Obviously, I'm a very ordinary person. But I'm trying to find some way to give strength to my preaching. But I don't have the character or the personality to take such intense vows.
Didn't you tell me you're no. Intense vows is not required for Mahaprabhu's movement. No. Intense vows is not required for that. Consistent preaching is what's required in Mahaprabhu's movement. You know, consistent preaching. You know, everybody, I mean, a Ferrari can go 200 miles an hour. A Volkswagen can't. But it can still get to the same destination as the Ferrari can. So we're not trying to imitate Bhaktisiddhanta or make these strange vows. I mean, try to fulfill just Ekadashi. Yeah, try to do Nirjala Ekadashi every month, twice a month. Yeah, do a little vow, huh? Can you do that? Yeah, you see? Yeah, we all can do it once a year on Bhima Nirjala Ekadashi. And many of us have done that. But, you know, the real Ekadashi is one meal on Dasami, no food at all on Ekadashi, and one meal again on Devadasi. That's the real vow. So we don't have to do that. We don't have to be so extreme. We have to follow Ekadashi. Yes, and we do follow Ekadashi. But that's extreme enough for us in perpetuating Krishna consciousness in the West. We don't have to do any, but you should, like, Ekadashi vow you should do. And you should do just like Bhaktisiddhanta. You say, okay, Krishna, today I'm going to only eat fruits. And then you should follow that. Or today I'm only going to drink water. And you should follow that. Or today I'm just going to eat like I want, but I'm going to eat Ekadashi foods. But you should make that sankalpa, it's called, that you're going to do every Ekadashi before in the morning. You should do that, you know? This is like, so different levels of devotees have different potencies. And you shouldn't try to do more than what your potency has given you. You know? You're preaching in universities, so that's great. I told you that last night. You know, to preach in universities, that's what everyone's trying to do that. But a lot of times the universities they're not really positive for us entering, you know? But then sometimes there's a management change or a new president and things change. So if you're at your university, that's great. So your question actually was, though, is that you don't have the determination to do important big vows. You don't need to have that. You just have determination to preach Krishna consciousness at the speed that your car allows you, meaning your vehicle, your body, like that. Make sure you don't get sick. Make sure you're healthy. Make sure you're happy. You know, because if you can't give Krishna consciousness to others if you're not happy yourself. Nobody wants to hear that message. You know what I mean? They want to hear happiness. You know, oh, why are those, like in the old days, everybody was shaved up. All the Matajis wore saris when they were doing Sankirtan on the street and book distribution. you know, and we were happy. Happy, happy, happy. And everybody was saying, why are these people so happy? They're dressed strange, they look strange, but we were happy, you know. And we were, it was the hippie time, so we were really happy, you know. And so and that just, you know, just caught on like wildfire. These books were being sold like hotcakes, you know, like anything. You can't believe how these books. In the beginning, the whole movement and all the temples came only from book distribution. No cookies, no incense, no paintings. Only books, Krishna conscious books, you know? It was amazing, actually. So, yeah, just develop your preaching program in the university, you know, whatever knowledge you gained, you know, try to give it to the people and you'll be fine. There's no, Krishna conscious is not extreme, really. I mean, the karmis like to say, oh, they're so extreme. No, we're not extreme. We do a little singing, a little dancing, eat as much Mahaprasad as we can get, chant our rounds, and have a little class. You know what I mean? Basically, that's it. You know, it's not like we're not yogis. We don't have to be yogis, you know, like that. But if you do a vow, if you make a vow, you should keep it. But you shouldn't make a vow beyond your reach, beyond your grasp. You know, make a practical vow that'll help your Krishna consciousness in everyday life. Hmm? All right.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bol.
Thank you for blessing us with your presence here in Chicago. There's a couple quotes that came to mind regarding your class, especially comparing material wealth, which the verse talks about, to spiritual wealth of the Goswamis. And there's one quote, inspirational quote I heard. It says, money, fame, power, and high education increase your net worth, not your self-worth. You are already valuable with a smaller apartment and no title behind your name. The only title you need to feel good about yourself is this, child of Almighty God. And my question is related to, like, you were the last point you were mentioning, in the 80s and 70s, you guys were so happy, you know, you had shaved heads. And we see, in contrast to the scriptures, there are many examples in the scriptures, like Daksha, Hiranyakashipu, they had all the external fashion in the world, but they were miserable because they didn't have the internal fashion. So there's a nice quote that says, if my shoes were made of humility, my dress of respect, my hat of compassion, and my necklace of determination, I would be dressed for success.
Prabhu, do you have a question?
Yes, my question is that how do we know that we're not we're misusing the principle of yuta vairaga by overaccumulating things because to live up to the status quo.
So what status quo? What status quo?
As devotees, when we associate in the material world, it's naturally we're conditioned by the material world. We're conditioned.
No. That's not the way to look at it. The material world should be influenced by us. Huh? You know, we have the highest prize and the highest goal. The material world should not be influencing us. We should be influencing the material world. Hmm? I mean, we have the highest and greatest philosophy there is, if one understands it. And so, if you've at least studied Bhagavad Gita, you can talk to anybody. Any college professor, any psychiatrist, any psychologist, any pope even, any Dalai Lama. And you can have an intelligent discussion with them just based on Bhagavad Gita. And that's our baby book. That's our baby book, you know? Just Bhagavad Gita is enough to talk with anyone about philosophy, spiritual, or anything. We aren't influenced by the world. The world is influenced by us. Hmm? And because if you stay firm to your Krishna consciousness, you follow the four regulative principles, you chant your 16 rounds every day, you have sadhu sangha, you associate with devotees. Hmm? If you don't associate with devotees, then there's going to be a downfall, even for sannyasis. Sadhu sangha is necessary. You must hear. You must hear from devotees that have something that are more advanced than you. And then all your doubts and anxieties just dissolve like mist in the dawn. All right? So, did that answer you properly? And you have another one? If you have one,
sure.
But we don't want to hear your discourse. We just want to hear questions.
Usually, I would say it's a prelude to the question, because definitely...
You don't have a question.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to ask a second question, because personally, I'm not a very eloquent speaker, and I have to think about my answers. It doesn't come so naturally. So my question is that sometimes when we have what are some steps we could take to encourage people like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He encouraged the illiterate Brahmana. Oh, you're an authority because you're trying your best. So sometimes we face obstacle among devotees. You could try your best, and you still may be criticized. But how can we? What are some steps we do to encourage each other? Because like I'm not a personal eloquent speaker, and so sometimes I cannot organize my thoughts.
Have you ever shaved your head?
Have I ever?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you see, people accept what's totally authentic by word and deed, by word and action. So if it's the complete picture or the complete package, well, then people will accept that. I mean, we made more devotees when we were shaved than we did plain clothes. This is for sure. And also the quality of devotee was better also, because they said, well, why do you have shaved hair? Oh, because this. Oh, I understand. And why do you have the Sikh in the back of your head? Because this, and this. And why you wear tilak? Because this. And why you wear kanti mala? Because this. And why you have japa beads? So all this was explained right at the giddy-up, right at the beginning. So they said, well, okay, I'll come to the temple. And most people got shaved up the first day. Within 24 hours, they shaved up, you know? Because shaving up is also surrender, you know? You're surrendering, you know? You talk to people, they say, okay, do you believe in God? Karmis now. Yes, I believe in God. Who is he? Well, I don't know who he is. What are his qualities? What are his pastimes? Do you want to find out about these things? They get interested. Yeah. Well, sure, I want to know. I want to know, you know? You see, in the world, there's atheists and there's theists. You know? And the theists want to know. So actually, we're not really trying to convert the atheists. We're trying to bring in the theists. The people who are already pious. The people who already believe there must be some God out there. We're not trying to get these demons, you know? Because they're just coming to disturb the society, you know? If they come on their own accord, fine. But we're after the theists. We're after the people who have some piety, who have some sukriti from last life that they want to listen, like all of you, you know? You're here because you have some sukriti from last life. That's all. You know? You did some good things last life, and you got a bonus this life. Let's give you an example of Jagai and Magai. Jagai and Magai were Jaya and Vijaya and Vaikuntha. When the four Kumaras came, they knew that Vishnu wanted to fight. He was like, you know, he was feeling like, and because they were close to him, they knew that. So they said, how can we help serve him? So then, when the four Kumaras came, they said, okay, this is our opportunity. We'll block them from coming in, because Brahmanas can go anywhere. They don't have to be stopped for anything. You know, all kings, rishis, even Vaikuntha, Brahmanas can go everywhere. So they stopped and said, who are you? And they said, who are you to stop us? You know, these little boys. And they said, we curse you to take birth on earth. At that time, Vishnu came and said, what's the problem? Of course, he knew everything. And they said, well, we stopped these boys. They're brahmanas. We didn't know their position. And now we're cursed to come on earth. So Vishnu said to him, okay, you can take seven births as my devotees, or three births as my enemies. They said, we'll take the three births. So then we know they became Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakasipu, Ravan, Kumbhakarna, and Danpatara, and Sisupal. Huh? So they fulfilled their role with Nrisingadev, with Varahadev, and with Krishna. But then they got a bonus to be Jagai and Magai in Mahaprabhu Leela. So they didn't expect that. So then they got that extra mercy that everybody, the whole universe is hoping to get, you know? Because Mahaprabhu only comes once in a day of Brahma, which is once every thousandth Kali Yuga. The other Kali Yuga is no Mahaprabhu. So this mercy is only available now in this Kali Yuga, and it won't be seen again for another 999 Kali Yugas. So understand how fortunate, the great good fortune that everyone in this room and the whole world has, that they're born in Kali Yuga. Because even if they don't get it, they have the chance to get it. They have the chance to hear about it. Everyone can't chant the names of Krishna because they're not pure enough. But everybody can hear it. And that's why we go out in the streets and do Sankirtan. You know, like I was in Union Square. Man, we rocked that place. You know, and then we went from Union Square to Times Square. Everybody's happy to see us. Everybody! Everybody's smiling. Nobody's frowning. Everybody's smiling, you know? And we're just happily doing our thing, you know? We go down there and come back, you know? So we're accepted now in society. There's no reason that everybody can't walk around in dhoti and tilak. We're accepted. I mean, I'm like this 24/7 all year long. You know, when I come to passport control, they say, where have you people been? We thought you were extinct, you know, because nobody dresses like a devotee when they go travel, you know, but sannyasis must, you know. So I don't want to say we're loved yet, but we're liked, for sure. We're liked because we survived. Everybody thought it was going to be just like, oh, they're in and out, 1 or 2 years, they'll be finished. But no, no, no. 50 years later, we're still going strong. You know, so anyway, any more questions from anyone? Who didn't ask? You didn't ask. Give him the microphone, and then we'll close.
Thank you, Maharaj. No, I just wanted to like make a comment on Hari Shams. That it is clear in the nectar of instruction in verse 1 and 2, what is what we need to do. It is a really simple instruction. That's all.
Right. I mean, Krishna consciousness is easy. You just have to follow the four regular principles and chant your 16 rounds, and you're in. And you're in! That's the admission ticket. You know, I mean, what's the big deal? You know? So just, you know, and then have association. Always associate with devotees. This is the thing, you know. Some people go too far into the karmi world and they get lost. They get lost in the forest, you know, and they can't get back, you know. But we're influencing this world. And if you, I don't know what you do here, how you do Sankirtan or how you do Kirtan. I guess in Kirtan you wear dhotis and tilak, right? Yeah, okay. Well, that's it. Let's these people see us and see how happy we are. You know? Because, I mean, is there a shortage of Mahaprasad here? Yeah, all right then. So everybody should be happy then. You know, when I first came in, if you got even one teaspoon of Mahaprasad, you were lucky. You know? Okay, I'm sannyas now. I get it all the time. But when I first started, a teaspoon! You know, they say, hold your hand out, and you say, is this all, you know? But you were happy to get it, you know? So a place that has no shortage of Mahaprasad is a very fortunate temple, you know what I mean? Yeah. So anyway, just be happy, you know? And be happy when you chant also. There should be some attraction for the chanting. Nam and Nami is the same. Krishna is the same as his name. You know, there should be some attraction. There should be some affection there, you know? I mean, you must cultivate this, is what I'm saying. Cultivate it, because it's real rasa. It's like electricity, you know, this is real. You can't feel it yet because you're subconscious, you know? But later, you'll see, you know? Yeah. All right, you have a question, Mani? Yes, please.
It just struck me, Maharaj, when you were talking, it seems such a very difficult thing, say, Jai and Vijay taking a role as demoniac entities, even if it's for the purpose of serving Lord Vishnu. So it leaves this burning question, how is it possible to actually switch one's heart in that kind of way?
Okay, I understand you. All right, first thing you have to understand is that we all have free will. Do you understand what that means? We have the choice to do positive or negative. So Vishnu, he gave them the choice. He said, you can take 7 births as my devotees or 3 births as my enemies. So they didn't want to be in the material existence 4 extra times. And they knew that Vishnu wanted to fight. And no one was more powerful than them. So they did this as a service. Actually, it's Leela. It's Leela. And like I was trying to say earlier, what we're doing is Leela also, but we cannot see it. It's Leela. It's the Lord's pastimes, or it's the Lord's servants doing their pastimes. So they joyfully accepted this. And let me tell you how the Lord took care of them. I'll just take an example for one. Hiranyakasipu. He was so powerful that he was able to defeat Indra and all the demigods, take over Swargaloka, and rule the whole universe. Fully. Not just a little, I mean fully, for his whole life until the last 48 minutes of his life. So he was able to enjoy for the whole life except for the last 48 minutes, because Nisshinga had to come in the twilight, and twilight is 48 minutes. We know when you do Gayatri, you have 48 minutes to do your Gayatri. So at the and because of the boons that Brahma gave for Hiranyakasipu, Vishnu only could kill him in that 48 minutes. So he just enjoyed rulership of the whole universe for his whole life, and for 48 minutes, he had to fight Vishnu. Like that. He only had one disappointment. What was that? What was Hiranyakasipu's disappointment? Scholars, Prahlad, exactly. You know, every father wants his son to be just like him. There's nothing worse than a father faces to have a son that's like, you know, worthless. And so, even though Prahlad was a great devotee, for Hiranyakasipu, he was worthless, you know, and that's, you know, like that. So, no, it was Leela. It was Leela. I mean, anything connected directly to the Lord, no matter how it looks, is certainly Leela. Because we know that Jaya Vijaya was his best servants, you know. But they chose to do this. Okay, let's give him a little action, you know. Sometimes when Krishna comes to a planet, he tells Yogamaya, no demons this time. I just want to play. And there'll be no demons in the whole 125 years because he just wants to play. However he feels is how he does, you know. And then sometimes he says, okay, send them on. I want to have some demons so I can have some action. It's like human nature. I mean, sometimes we want action. Sometimes we want peace. Sometimes you just want to play. So sometimes he comes, there's no demons. Just, you know, because the demon leelas are not eternal. They don't exist in Goloka. You know, all the other pastimes exist in Goloka. But the demons, there's no demons in Goloka. But the Brajbasis in Goloka, they have some like faint memory, like a dream that they heard about some demon, something like that. So those emotions are there. But no demons are in Goloka. Not possible. Not possible. So, you know. Anyway, these are some intimate things. Not intimate, but intricate things that, you know, how it is between there and there. And since we're on our way there, you know, we should at least have some kind of, you know, memory about them. Some distant memory like a forgotten dream, you know. Did that answer your question? Okay. Are we finished? Everybody's ready for the break prasad, Mahaprasad, Dwadasi, huh? All right. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Grantha Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to the devotees. All glories to A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai. All glories to Raghunath Das Goswami on his Tirubhav. All glories to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami on his Tirubhav. All glories to Krishna Das Kaviraj on his Tirubhav. Gaura Premanandi. Hari Hari Bo. It's always nice to give a class when the acharyas have their appearance days, you know, or disappearance days, you know, because there's mercy there, a lot of mercy. Okay, we're going to break our fast. What's this? Oh, now it's time? Great, Papa. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I was looking for her.
Yeah, something came down at her house. She just messaged me, like, I'm going to do a class name.
Oh, sorry, okay.
It was an emergency. Okay. Is there anything, just in terms of practicalities, other than to write for you, you'd want to...